Tonight I'll be continuing on the teaching about wars. Remember, we are discussing a message, and this message is very critical, extremely important on faith. You cannot have faith, all right, on what you do not know in particular. If that is the case, it becomes a superstition. Being superstitious, it is when you believe something that you do not even have an idea of what you are believing. There are people who are so superstitious that they have got something. Hello? That must not be the case with the deity of Christ. This is very important. We have so many people who actually think they believe, but they don't. They don't even know what they're talking about. In Acts 19, there were men who were having fellowship. In fact, they had a church, and they were praying every day. And Apostle Paul found them. When he found them, they had no idea of what they were actually doing. Am I talking to you? Yes. And in fact, they actually didn't even have the Holy Spirit. And they even never heard about the Holy Spirit. But they were disciples. So we can have a need, a lack. That's why it's paramount important to understand what is going on. Are you here? Yes. Otherwise, we're going to have so many people who think they know and they don't. And unfortunately, there's a series of activities going on where people have no idea. Can you imagine what we were sharing last night about rapture? Imagine you're a believer and you have no idea. Events are happening right now and you have no idea. And you're in church. I was laughing the other day, where they've even put a place where people are actually betting money. All right? And they are using an application called, "Is Jesus Coming in 2025? And people are betting. And these are people who are not even in the church. They're not even believers. But already, they are actually, "Is Jesus coming?" You know? And people are even... You see, to somebody who actually think I'm just talking about it, in fact, it's actually there. You can actually check it out. It's actually there. So people in the church have no idea. All right, so it's important to be knowledgeable, to know what's going on in faith, in spirit. You know, God tells us about being watchful. You get that? Now, let's do this. Okay, let's do this quickly. Let's do this. This is very important. All right, somebody say wars. Now, we shared a message, a very interesting message about gates. And we spoke Ezekiel 3, verse 17, which speaks of what? Watchmen. All right? And we spoke about... We spoke this word at length. We spoke about what God wants you to do, how to do, what you must be. And what I'm going to share with you tonight is going to be very critical, because this, what I'll share with you tonight, is going to make you realize where or what went wrong. It's important to know, when did the word of God in my life lose its value? You didn't hear me. When does the word of God lose value? Do you know the word can be upon you and it can have value or it can lose value? Now, imagine this, that God has set you to be a watchman. A watchman. Somebody say watchman.
Watchman.
When you're a watchman, you see. And I'm telling you again today, whatsoever you are seeing as a problem, it is an opportunity in the spirit to harness. Whatsoever. For me as a prophet, imagine I'm seeing a problem. Okay, what makes me a prophet? When I see a problem, I use that problem as a what? As a data. Amen. So when I look at you and I see a problem, why am I seeing it? Simple. Problems are datas. We use problems as a what? Data collection. Can you imagine? When I see a problem in you, it's not like I should be thinking like, oh my God, this woman, she's passing through a lot. It's not like, imagine you. You also get the same data the way I get it. God also opens your eyes the same way he does with me. The difference is you use that information to process in the natural. I use the same information to process prophetically. Imagine you wake up and you're having an idea. No. My son here, this child of mine, looks like something is going on. Trust you me, you parents, you do have such feelings. No. You imagine you have a feeling. And that feeling, God is gathering the intelligence to you. What did you do with it? Now imagine you have that information. And instead of you saying, okay, so God is giving me this information to do something, because scripture says in Ezekiel 3:17, I have set you as a watchman over the house of Israel. All right? Now, if you're a watchman, your duty and your job is to watch, it is to gather information, it is to gather data, it is to see, it is to hear. If I employ a person and is watching over my house as a guard, trust you me, if something is going to happen at my house, and I wake up in the morning and I say, what was happening? And then he says, in fact, I saw them entering. I said, what? I saw them entering. They were wearing masks. And what did you do? I didn't want to look like I'm a bad man. I didn't want to confront them. So they entered. Yeah, when they were coming back, I saw them cutting a TV. It is exactly what's happening with you. You're able to watch the enemy attacking your finances. Like, this is the enemy. You're able to see the enemy attacking your faith. Can you imagine? You used to pray. You'd wake up in the morning. You used to love Christ. You used to love ministry. You can actually see that the love of ministry is no longer there. The love of Christ is no longer there. You can actually see it. You are no longer praying like before. You can actually watch. You are such a watchman that is sleeping. And you can't take action. What will happen with you? You get fired. Because you are a watchman. Jesus. Go back that verse just reading now. I want everybody else to read. Because this, I will not continue if you do not really have a moment to understand what's going on over here. Can you read the scripture?
Ezekiel 3 verse 17. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me.
Psalm 115, verse 5.
They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see.
Matthew 13:15.
For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them.
Eyes to see and ears to hear, but they're all not working. Are you still here?
Yes, Daddy.
Say, help me, God.
Help me, God.
Now, scripture says they have got eyes to see, but they can't. Ears to hear, they can't hear. Now, if you're a watchman, if you're a person that God has put over there to watch, this is to do with your life. As I said before, a very good example. Just check your life. Check your faith. Check your prayer life. Check your spiritual life. You're not watching when the Holy Spirit is entering. Imagine you wake up in the morning and you've got this feeling to say pray. And guess what? You will take it so normal. You won't even say to your friends this morning, Papa God visited me. Some of us, we take that as an encounter. Some of us wake up and say, you know what? Just an hour ago, Father came and he was telling me to go and do this. You will think it was your mind. Scripture says their hearts have gone so dull that even when the Father is talking, you think it's with thinking. So to start with, how do you exercise your faith? Because faith is obedience. Maybe you didn't know this. Faith is about what?
Obedience.
Faith is attached to obedience. Because when God says move, you move because God said it. In other words, you're acting according to the word. Faith is obedience. Hello? Scripture says that Abraham obeyed when God said he should go to a place he never even knew. And because of that, it was accounted for him for what? And that's the whole word faith comes from. Faith comes from the step of Abraham when he believed, when he took a step, when he took action to do something he even never saw. To go to a place where God said, leave your father, your mom to a place I'll show you. There I'll make you great. He took a step. So there was an action over a word and there was an obedience. So how would you even know God says you should take a step of faith when you actually don't even hear him? How do you take an action? Imagine you're just in your house like this when and God wants you to take a step of faith. He says, I want you to start, I want you to invest in this. Hello? And you're still thinking like, you know? If you heard it as your mind, there'll be no step of faith. So a step, an action will happen when you actually know that it's God is speaking. So to start with, faith must be from within. This is when you remove the nebulous, where you are not seeing clearly, take it out. If you can't believe God is speaking, that this God is speaking to you, how do you believe God for a miracle? You have to start believing that the voice you are hearing, it is God is speaking. Ever thought about Moses? Do you know where Moses grew up? He grew up in Egypt. Do you know who was the god of Egyptians? Molech. Do you know how he was manifesting? Burning fire. They would take kids, they would burn fire on a bush and take kids and throw them over the bush. Do you understand? And one day, Moses was taking care of the sheep. And guess how God manifested? The same way Molech was manifesting in Egypt. Moses grew up in the palace. And in the palace, that's where they were worshiping Molech. The only God Moses knew was he had no idea of God. But imagine when the bush was burning, God said, I am Yahweh. Take off your shoes. The man believed that the one who's talking is God. He even took a step to challenge the Molechs, the god of the Molech. He never said, what I saw there, that experience. In fact, it's also what happens in the palace. I want you to know, God used the same thing he kept seeing as he was growing up. It was not strange. God said, take the stick, throw down. Moses took a stick and threw it down. It became a snake. That was not strange to Moses. It was happening in the palace. In fact, when he went there and when he did it, the magicians in the same palace also did it. It was not a strange thing. Moses grew up in that house. God used a familiar thing he was seeing every day to talk to him. And he had to believe God in the same familiar thing. The same service you watch every single day, God is using it to talk to somebody. So watching, watching. It's very important. Now, I spoke to you that this watching, God said, I have set you as a watchman. I told you there are three places of watching. Okay? I spoke about the gates. Now, we spoke about this. I'm not going to talk about this. And we spoke about walls. And the scripture also speaks about towers. Watchtowers. All right? So, we have towers, we've got walls, and we have gates. Now, we spoke about the gates. Now, we are speaking about the walls. What are walls? Do you know what it means when we talk about walls? These are not just words. These are not just statements in the Bible. When the Bible talks of walls, these are not just statements. Walls will determine who you are. Walls will determine whether you are protected or not. Let's go to the scripture. Let's start the book of Proverbs. 25:28.
Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls.
Hey? Did you just hear that?
Yes.
Other versions, a man without self-control. It's like a city without walls. We are starting to explain about the war. Walls. Now, if I am having somebody right now watching me, you're watching me right now, and there are things happening around you, both inputs and outputs, there are things you have no control, where you can't control yourself, your character, your behavior, yourself, your attitude, your anger, your feelings, your emotions, number one. Two, where you have no self-control of things happening to you, you can't even control anything. Whatsoever wants to happen to you, happens. Scripture says, you are like a city without walls. Now let's go back to Isaiah. My God, I love this.
I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep
I have set watchmen on your walls. And these watchmen, they shall not hold their peace. What is this trying to say? They are people that God has put who are praying for Jerusalem. And scripture calls them what? Watchmen. They will not hold their peace. As I'm speaking to you until today, there are people praying for Israel. I promise you, I'm one of the people who pray for Israel. There are people who are praying for Israel. God says, these men, God puts them over the walls to watch. And these are praying. How many times have people tried to bomb Israel and all attempts fail? Not because of their modern weapons, but because they're watchmen. Tonight, I want to introduce you to be a watchman over your own walls, your own family walls. So what are walls? Walls are pillars of reinforcement where sometimes they can be breached, or they can be strengthened. Every believer has got walls. These walls can be breached, penetrated, or they can be what? Reinforced. When I look at this man, his walls are not the walls of this man. My walls are not your walls. Am I talking to you?
Yes.
Because the word walls people are having in their mind are having a brick wall around the house. Remove them. Put the meaning of that. Why is it there? Why is it there? So walls, they act as to some people. They could be spiritual defense. What are the walls in your life of your spiritual defense? There are people, the more they pray, the more they are safe. There are people, the more they disobey, the more they're not safe. What are your walls? Firstly, what are your walls? You as a person, what are your spiritual walls? They're not the same. What keeps me is not what is keeping you. Maybe with me, my walls of spiritual identity is favor. We may not be favored in the same way, but maybe you is grace. This is why to some, they have got a different gift, and some have a different gift that tells you already. Are you here? Yes. The word wall or walls is also the same word hedge. Number one, says spiritual walls. Now this could be, and some of you, you are not watching because God puts you as a watchman over your walls. Some of you are not watching over your walls. What are the walls of your spiritual life? And some of you right now, you can actually feel that things are not moving well than they were moving before. Find out which walls of your spiritual life have been breached. There could be spiritual walls of prayer. You find that there is now compromise in your life over prayer. And some of you, the fear of God is no longer there. Before, when you're doing something wrong, you had the fear of God. But now, that fear is gone. In that case, the walls of spiritual stand has been breached. Somebody say, I'm watching over my walls.
I'm watching over my walls.
No, say it again.
I'm watching over my walls.
Go back to the verse, the same verse we just read right now.
I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent.
You are here, right?
Yes.
I have also told you. God says you can have walls. Having walls is a different thing. But having people watching over those walls is also a whole different what? You may have walls, but that are not being watched. Now, we have spoken about the spiritual walls. Two, finances can be a wall. God can give you money as a wall. And I will show you the verses. Eh? Don't worry, we are coming to verses and you'll be very shocked. Finances can be a war because according to scripture, money is a weapon. And the enemy knows to say, if I touch this woman, I can touch her. Nothing will defend her. The enemy knows that money can be a war of protection. Money can be a war of your defense. As I'm talking right now, there is somebody who's watching me now. They're in financial problems and they don't know what's going to happen next. Why? The enemy just attacked that wall. In warfare, you must know how the enemy fights. He just breached the financial wall. As I'm talking now, the man was making money, things were starting to move. The enemy says, you are joking. That's why you need to be a watcher over the what? The walls. as you are a watcher over the gate. Gate is the entry, access. This is how my miracles come. This is how the enemy wants to take my things. But now, the war is the place where the enemy now may actually notice to say, this woman, her finances are her wars. So the enemy will come, bridge over the wars, and before you know it, the enemy has attacked you. The enemy is not looking for finishing you. All he's looking for are weaker places where the walls have been breached. He will make use of those areas and finish you. We're not going to talk much about it here. Let's continue. We also have family wars. Some of you, your family, it is what keeps you. As I'm talking to you right now, there's a breach. The enemy has just penetrated your family. As I'm speaking to you right now, some of you can't even talk to your own brother. Some of you can't even talk to your own sister. Why? Because the enemy knows that family can become a war. Every family that is united is a strong family. They may have no money, but I promise you, something great will happen to that family. And if the enemy wants to finish you, he will breach the walls because he knows you are strong together as a family. Identify the breached walls. Number four. Are you following?
Yes, Daddy.
Ministry wars. The reason why the enemy will fight people in the ministries, and this is so common, you will never see people from traditional churches saying, I'm leaving. I'm disappointed. But in prophetic ministries, because the enemy knows that your ministry can become your war. Some of you, you found grace through prophetic ministries. Some of you, you are who you are by the same ministries. And the enemy knows, when I remove this, I can attack this woman now properly. So wars of ministry.
Wars of ministry.
Well, I'm just giving an introduction. Don't worry, we'll go one by one in details and with the verses and scriptures. I'm about to finish my introduction. Lastly, we have what we call territory wars. These are wars that demarcates your area of influence. In my introduction, I put this as number one, so it doesn't matter. These are wars where you are able to know the area of your what? Influence. And the enemy will know to say, this woman, she's penetrating through this area. Her territory is being what? Enlarged. Because wars also represents a place of influence. This is why every country, they put guards, soldiers, to protect over the what? Their territory. Their map is a war of their country. If you breach, you're calling for war. In fact, they won't answer you nicely. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus. Every spirit. Every breached wall. I stand as a watcher. Now, before we go further, let me show you how serious this teaching is. Because most of you have lost your faith, and some of you have even lost your salvation because your walls are breached. Walls are also known as hedges. In those days, they were not using brick walls. They would plant trees. And there are specific trees that they can actually create a wall. And it was known as a hedge. Am I talking to you? In Job 1 verse 10, for you to know that Satan is so much concerned of your spiritual wars. Let's read the scripture.
Job 1 verse 10. Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land.
Now, who's saying? Satan. Who is he talking to? God. About who? Job. Why? Because Satan wants to go and take his goods. Satan wants to attack his money. Satan wants to go and attack his vehicles, his cars, his products, whatever he has. But he says, I cannot go because the man we are talking about, he has a wall. He has a hedge around him. Raise up your hand and say, I reinforce my hedge. Set with seriousness. Declare again. I reinforce my walls.
I reinforce my walls.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Can you imagine Satan saying, I cannot just go. It will need you, God, to remove the walls for me to go and attack him. And God said, okay, for now, temporarily, I have removed. But the only one area I have not removed the wall is his life.
Oh my God.
You touch everything else, but the hedge of protection still remains around his soul. You want to kill him. But from his business, I have removed. From his children, I have removed. Ask yourself a question whether you have got walls. Your spiritual life has got walls. Ask yourself whether the enemy is just entering anyhow he wants. He has removed self-control. Just ask yourself a question that am I right standing with God? Ask yourself this question now, number one. Number two, ask yourself a question over your finances. Are you sensing a protection? Do you have a defense? Or the enemy is just anyhow he wants? We need to reinforce the walls. I'm telling you, the enemy could not penetrate the walls that God had put upon the possession of Job. Job had a serious wars. And these serious wars were protecting Job. Until Satan said, you have done it. And if you look at how Satan asked the question, he never said, there is. You understand? The question was what? Have you not put? Before I go to touch Job, I want first of all to find out. Because Satan had made different wars on other God's people. Tonight, we want to pray a prayer of reinforcing your walls. Somebody say there'll be no more breaching.
There'll be no more breaching.
What are your walls? Thank you, Jesus. Raise up a right hand. As I raise my hand.
As I raise my hand.
I declare. Every breached area in my life.
Every breached area in my life.
I speak now. Reinforcement.
Reinforcement.
Every breached area in my life.
Every breached area in my life.
Reinforcement.
Reinforcement.
All the foundational walls.
All the foundational walls.
Be reinforced.
Be reinforced.
All the pillars.
All the pillars.
Be reinforced.
Be